This episode of the Enough Podcast is brought to you by the all-new Squarespace 6. Squarespace 6 has a lot of great features, but we'll talk real quickly about the import feature. A lot of us have been writing on the web for a long time, and as such, you've got a lot of stuff you want to bring with you to a new platform. Well, Squarespace 6 makes that really easy. You can import directly from WordPress, Tumblr, Blogger, Squarespace 5, and more. Super easy. Give it your credentials. It does the heavy lifting for you. You're not messing with MySQL tables or anything like that. Squarespace 6 just makes it easy. Really want you guys to go check it out. Visit squarespace.com/70decibels. Learn all about the import and other great features. If you guys sign up, it starts at just $10 a month, and you can get a discount by using the coupon code 70decibels8. Thank you so much to Squarespace for supporting 70 Decibels and Enough.
Hey there, Mike number two. And I get to call you Mike number two because, well, if Merlin Mann can call you Michael, I can.
Yeah, so Mike is on vacation. I don't know if people realize he has an aunt and uncle, and they are sightseeing through Italy this week.
Oh, wow.
That's actually... Wow. Not true at all, but Mike's on holiday, so here I am.
Yeah, on holiday, as they say in the jolly UK, and you are Mr. Stephen Hackett, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
That's what I've been told.
And you have a website or a podcast or one of the other or both or something like that, right?
I do. So I write at 512pixels.net and host the very uniquely named 512 podcast here on the network.
I recognized you from somewhere. How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing well. You know, it's been it's kind of the summer is has not been a quiet time for me, but mm-hmm. doing well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And taking on whole other jobs of other people is certainly not helping the lack of quiet. That's for sure. But we within the 70 Decibels Network and our listeners greatly appreciate you stepping up and doing so.
People really don't get how much work Mike does when he's not sitting behind the microphone. You know, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it really is like a whole another full-time job. I mean, you said yourself, you were like recording like several other shows today as well. And, you know, Mike and I are, you know, the curtain's up on the wizard around here. You know, people know that we record several at a time. It's hours and hours of talking and editing and recording and, you know, arranging and scheduling and doing show notes and uploading all that stuff. And it's just crazy.
Yep. Absolutely nuts. Yeah.
So, but we, you know, we're not going to talk about this. Sorry for hitting the mic. I'm kind of trying to be a little bit closer to it because I'm at my other house here and with the air conditioning, and I'm hoping to drown out the blowing of that. So wanted to talk a little bit about about day one, the journal app that the kids, the cool kids on the Twitters and the internets have been, you know, seemingly gaga about. I've never seen so much excitement about journaling.
yeah, it's really kind of funny, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, so many apps today are so social, and this is basically the most antisocial app, I think, on my home screen.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not entirely true, and we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, I downloaded it. I hadn't tried it before, and I wasn't part of the beta like all the cool kids apparently were. People don't invite me to this stuff. Why am I not invited? I've got a popular blog. I've got a popular podcast. No one ever asked me.
Sorry. Are you okay?
I have a reputation. I probably have a reputation.
don't send to Pat.
Don't send to him. He'll do nothing but break it.
That's what beta's for, right?
Well, exactly. Well, you know, I used to do software QA, so I'm very good at breaking things quickly. As a matter of fact, I broke day one on the Mac almost right away. It's still got a bug. And I ran headfirst into it. I downloaded it like everyone else, did, except for the cool kids that got it, that have had it for like 3 or 4 months now. And I got the iOS version, which is universal, so for iPad and iPhone, and I got the Mac version because I had to see what all this talk was about, right? Because I journal. I'm someone who believes in journaling. I've talked about it before. I switch between a number of things often, mm-hmm. which is probably not good, but it doesn't matter. I kind of mainly switch between a few things, and I know where all those things are, and I know that when I'm not doing one, I'm generally doing the other and picking up where that one left off. So if someone wanted to really compile, all of my daily entries, they could find them. What I have been using mainly before and switching in between are analog, because sometimes I'm just in the mood for some paper and pen love, as people know, with the Levenger 5-year journal, which I like, and I've talked about it before. I cannot remember what episode, but what I like most about it is that it is designed so that you have just a few lines of entry for each year. I think like 5 lines.
Wow.
It might even be 4, but basically think of it as this. You have a page with a day and date at the top, not day and date, I'm sorry, just like March 26, let's just say, okay? So you have March 26 at the top, and then you have a space to write in the year, just a little like, March 26, 2013, mm-hmm. and then a few lines to add about that day. Right. So as you flip through the pages, you get to the end and, now time to go back to the beginning for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. It's really neat because you can see where you were a year ago very easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unique format, I think.
Right. And that's what I find most interesting about it is that if you actually do use this thing, when you do complete a year and you, or, I mean, even if you don't, you'll run across, here's where I was a year ago. It stares you back in the face every year, and I appreciate that. And then on the digital side, what I've been using is actually a online, I guess web app is the best way to describe it, called Olife, which I've also talked about here on the podcast before. And what Olife is great at is that it emails you every day at a predetermined time and just asks the simple question, how did your day go? And you reply to the email, and that reply becomes the entry for that day. And so once again, super simple. You don't have to write the Magna Carta unless you want to. It's part of your regular, email workflow. You're just replying to this thing. And these things are ending up, in a format, online that you can go and look at. But most compellingly, you can very easily export all your entries as a plain text file.
Yeah, which is always nice for those of us who, you're concerned about data lock-in.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think what people are excited about with this day one update is the ability to add photos, and you can add some metadata like weather and location. And I know for me, the photo thing has really been neat for a rather simple reason of I, like you, do journaling, with pen and paper a fair mm-hmm. amount of the time. And I always had an issue with that of it's not, you know, it's not together with my digital stuff, and it's can, you know, in the future it could be hard to track something down. Or day one now, I found myself several times, if I, you know, write a half page in a field notes about something, I can just snap a picture and it's in day one. And because the iPhone 4S camera is so good, it's legible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of, for me, it's been a way to kind of cross that barrier.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the other neat thing about it is that you can actually have several entries for each day. And so similar to, it once again almost encourages one because of the photo taking ability and because of the kind of multiple entries per day and capturing that metadata, it almost encourages one to, for lack of a better term, tweet to self. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of the things I really loved about it was I never had this idea that I had to, you know, open it up and say everything about my day, you know, that I could very easily launch it, create a new entry and say, you know, feeling really down right now. And that's it. Right.
Yeah.
And then later on, open it up that day and add another entry that says, feeling much better, thanks. You know,
yeah.
And that's it, right? You know, that you can, you know, that you can, you don't, there's never this
it removes a lot of kind of the friction that some people feel. Like.
Yes, exactly. And I think the barrier, I think one of the things that people get hung up on with journaling is this idea that they have to sit down and stare at this blank page and fill it up.
Right.
You know, fill up this entire page, right?
That's one reason, you know, I kind of hold my menu bar to be a precious location on my Mac. And I've added the day, or I've allowed day one to be in there for that very reason, that if I'm just sitting at my desk or, you know, sitting at my machine working on something else and something, you know, a thought comes or something that I want to just stick in there, I just open the menu bar item, type it in, hit save, and go right back to what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's valuable.
Right. And, you know, that little menu bar window, you know, is about kind of the space of a, you know, a short paragraph or, you know, a short little thought, you know, the couple of sentences, maybe three, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not, you know, and I think in that way, like I know some people have mentioned that they use it almost like a work log even. So, you know, you can very quickly say, you know, finish project X, now moving on to thing Z, right? You know, yeah, and kind of use it even in that basic way to keep a log of the things that you're working on. So when your boss pops their head in their office and says, hey, what you been up to? You can pull that up and say, oh, here's what I did today. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
You know? I think one of the other nice things about it is that it does, if you so choose, allow you to do things because it captures location, you can check in with Foursquare because it uses the Foursquare API to get said location and, you know, nearby places. So if you actually do kind of check in at a place, you know, in day one, it logs it to Foursquare, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I getting that right too?
I think so. I don't use Foursquare, but I've seen that, you know, in the iOS apps.
Right.
I really like the location thing. You know, I've been doing some freelance for a school system. And, so, you know, like it's been nice just to tie those locations to those, even, you know, like
yeah.
There was a funny poster at a school, so I snapped a picture and said, this made me laugh, and I have the location right there, you know, which is one of those little things that I think, say that we're all still using day one in 3 or 5 years, that sort of information will be helpful, you know, the more distance is between you and your entry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think that also the idea that you can copy entries out as well as export all of these once again as plain text so important, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm never feeling like, you know, one of the things I like about the one I mentioned, which, you know, is that, you know, having that plain text export for something so personal is essential, absolutely essential. Because the whole purpose of keeping a journal, I don't know if the whole purpose, but at least for me, the entire purpose is I want someone to be able to pick this up and read it someday. That's not me. Right.
Yeah.
Like my daughter. Right. I want this to be part of the things I leave behind for her so that, you know, she has this record of, you know, here's who my dad was and here's the things he thought about. And here's, you know, here's how a typical day for him went, you know, and here's how a non-typical day or here's this important event that he never told me about that he wrote about right here. You know, why did he never tell me about this? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, it's things like that that I think about. I think much more about legacy when it comes to a journal and even more important why this stuff is important. The other thing that I have been doing is, and I post this to Mel Mack, and I'll find the link for the show notes. There was a guy who had the idea of setting up an email account mm-hmm. for his kid. In his case, his daughter, I believe.
Yeah.
Before she was even born.
Right. Yeah, I remember this, and he would send this is your first, you know, your first, what do they call it when you get your scan or whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's and you ultrasound or whatnot, right? You know, all the way up to like, you know, oh, you did this cute thing today. Here, let me tell you about it and how it made me feel or that sort of thing, right? And he would, with the idea being is that one day he would hand her the keys, as it were, to this email account and she would go and, you know, set it up. And she would automatically receive all his email from her dad chronicling her life up until that point, mm-hmm. which I thought, oh, my gosh, what a mind-blowing, tear-jerking sort of thing to do. I'm doing that immediately. And so I did. And I've been sending stuff to her email account. You know, everyone knows my daughter Beatrix is 4.5. You know, and she's probably not going to see this stuff for years, probably, you know, maybe – you know, 10, 11 years old, you know, when she's old enough to responsibly, you know, send and receive email, which I don't know why she wouldn't be by then, at least, you know, I would set up this account for her and, you know, give her the keys and say, here you go. And, oh, by the way, you know.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I've been capturing in day one is, you know, things about Beatrix, you know, at the moment, you know, as they happen. Oh, you know, this is really cute. And so not only do I capture it in day one, but then I email that entry to her email account.
Yeah, that really is great. And, you know, it's one of those things that makes me want to move my journaling and this kind of private writing, you know, to the digital space, because you've got options like that where,
yeah.
you know, as neat as it is, would be to hand my kids a shoebox full of field notes, you know, yeah. with years of my writing, the reality yeah. is, A, those journals aren't just journaling, they have other things mixed in, but
right.
those things break down, they get lost, they burn up in a house fire, you know, and,
right.
and so
right.
as long as you're careful with the digital assets, you know, things yeah. like exporting as plain text, having them in an email address and on Dropbox. As long as yeah. you have them and being responsible and, with them,
yeah.
they can last much longer.
Yeah. By the way, just as an aside,
mm-hmm.
I actually have 10 of the Levenger 5-year journals.
Wow.
my all monogrammed. I bought 10. And the reason I bought 10 was because that was exactly my thought when I bought them was 10 is 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, given, you know, if I keep myself healthy and such, yeah, okay. I could live to say, I don't know, 91, 92, 93. Mm-hmm. That's going to require 50 years.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no promise that Levenger will be around that long, but you know, so I better buy them all now. But yeah, exactly the same thing, right? And it's one of the reasons why I kind of float in and out and back and forth. The main reason I float in and out and back and forth is the same reason I do so with task tracking and things like that, is that I actually find that I, you know, I journal more often when I switch. It yeah. really is true.
Yeah, there's definitely, I was talking to Mike about this in a completely different context, but about sometimes when you have something new or you switch back mm-hmm. to a system, mm-hmm. there's that, you have that desire to kind of jump in with both feet because it's new. Sometimes that's mm-hmm. all it takes to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what I hope that the day one, that that's not the case, you know, that I'm still using it, you know, years from now, hopefully. And if not, yeah. again, I can, like you said, I can grab my plain text or my markdown and move on. So,
yeah. Well, I moved it to my home screen. It only took about a day or so before I'm like, okay, I'm going to be using this a lot. I'm going to move this to my home screen. And, I have it in a line. I have day one, then path, and then Tweetbot.
Hmm.
I haven't been using Tweetbot, as everyone knows, for a little while. But
yeah.
But you know, I didn't mean to necessarily line them up that way. At least I, you know, I didn't consciously do so. It just kind of happened that way. But as soon as I did and I saw it, I said, "Oh, this totally reminds me of Thoreau," right?
Yeah. I saw your link on that.
Yeah. It's not really a quote. It's actually from one of his books where he talks about in his home, in his cabin at Walden, he had three chairs, one for solitude, two for friendship, three for society, right? And with the idea being that you know, that each chair has its place and its purpose, right? And he goes on to explain, that is not to say that I won't accept more than three people in my home. I'm here to say that, that these things, that solitude and a one-to-one conversation and a one-to-many conversation or one-between-many conversation are three separate conversations, right? These are and are, treated differently. And I thought to myself, yes, that's exactly what I have here, is those three chairs. One for solitude, which is day one, one for friendship, which is path, and one for society, which is Tweetbot. I think ultimately that there is a place for all of that, right? And that when approaching these things as such, it makes it immediately clear your audience and the need that you're serving and the purpose that you're placing on being there.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some ways, I feel like that's maybe even a more important distinction to make in the digital world.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy, and the default on so many things is the society, is the wide open. Right. And that's why Path and things like Day One, I think, do well, because a lot of people realize that not everything should or is meant to be as public and as wide open as it can be. There are things that we need to reserve for ourselves and for our children and
for our friends and for our family. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want to let the episode go out, and we will wrap this up very soon, like right after this, without mentioning. Have you given Brett Terpstra, uber nerd extraordinaire, and a fellow Minnesotan, made this thing called Slogger.
Mm-hmm.
And Slogger is an incredibly nerdy Perl script, basically, right? Is it Perl script or a? It's a script.
Yeah, it's Ruby, I think.
Oh, Ruby script. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's Ruby.
The language of the gods.
Is that true? I did not know, and not being a nerd of that level. But it's incredibly nerdy, and it requires a little bit of command line foo, but not too bad. But basically, it can feed all sorts of stuff into day one for you. So if you want, you can feed all of your tweets and all of your, you know, blog posts or any RSS feed into it. What are some of the other things you can do? Last.fm and all sorts of just crazy stuff that you can use. So if you really want to kind of automate your quote unquote journaling.
it'll pull all sorts. I'm looking at it now. It'll pull all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's not the sort of way that I wish to use day one. You know, I don't think that journaling should be that kind of automated process. But I think it's a highly, highly fascinating and an interesting possible use of the of day one, because you really could use it to say, make a backup of all of this stuff or capture all of this stuff that you're doing anyway. And keep it all together in a way that makes, you know, personal sense.
Yeah, I think it's one really cool thing about the app that it has this command line interface. Like it's a gorgeous app. It's one of the, in my opinion, one of the better looking iOS apps out there. But it also has like this really nerdy underbelly, you know?
Yeah.
That Terps has tapped into with his mad scientist mind.
Yeah, he's crazy. All right. Well, I think we've given day one enough of a plug here. and maybe we'll get them to sponsor the podcast. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, in any case, Stephen, it's always wonderful to have the chance to talk to you. We don't do it enough.
Yeah, man. No, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll chat later, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right. Cheers. Bye.